If only I knew how it will all work out. We must have said or thought those words many times, not least of all in the present moment. COVID, vaccines, social distancing, schools, furlough. But we don't know how it will all work out, which impacts our lives because certainty or uncertainty about our future shapes our present. It affects our perspective on life. As we've seen across both our churches this last year or so, the current pandemic and all the uncertainties have affected our emotions, our thinking, our actions, often in unexpected ways. Uncertainty is heightened at this present moment, but we might ask, can we ever be certain of anything? US founding father Benjamin Franklin is quoted as saying, "In this world, nothing is certain except death and taxes." Death and taxes may be certainties, but Benjamin Franklin doesn't have it quite right. The Apostle Paul would also disagree, which is good news for us as we come to our passage this morning, because certainty here about the future really shapes the present for God's glory and our good. We continue our four-week mini-series on weakness this morning, still in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but jumping ahead slightly, chapter 4 verse 16 to chapter 5 verse 5. And 2 Corinthians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul around 55 AD to the church in Corinth. Last week we saw in chapter 4 Paul speaking about the treasure of knowing Jesus and of how that relationship with Jesus transforms our lives, sustaining us in weakness and bringing life out of death. Paul's relationship with Jesus keeps him going as a Christian in the brokenness of the world, which is what we're going to press into a little more as we come to this passage this morning. Won't I pray for us before we dive in? Father God, we give you thanks for your word to us, and we pray that as we come to it now, your Spirit would open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes to what you have to say to us, that we might live more for your glory in your world as your people. Amen. Paul's relationship with Jesus keeps him going as a Christian in the brokenness of the world, urging us not to lose heart either. That's the first heading on the screens, a point of introduction really, an exhortation: in present brokenness, do not lose heart. In present brokenness, do not lose heart. The world is broken. There are trials and tribulations, hardships and suffering, on top of which more comes simply because we follow the Lord Jesus. Verses 8 and 9 of chapter 4 recount some of the things Paul faced in his own ministry, both in body and mind. Hard-pressed, harassed, perplexed, worrying, concerned, persecuted, hassled, struck down, depressed. And we understand that. The general brokenness of life day by day, but also more significant trials and tribulations. I shared last week at St. Richard's that I tore the cartilage in both my hips about 10 years ago and had to have a number of operations. It stopped me playing sport, which I love doing. Another close friend of ours has just been diagnosed with throat cancer. Three young children. Details of the treatment sound horrible. On top of which, being Christians isn't easy. We struggle to live for God and not ourselves. Inwardly, we battle against temptation, pride that longs for recognition and status, selfishness that pursues wealth and comfort and self-gratification. And outwardly, we battle as we live in the world, the desire to conform, not wanting to stand out, feeling awkward, knowing that speaking of Jesus will bring ridicule and persecution, will be viewed differently. We may be treated differently and given a hard time. The world is broken. Paul faces suffering and hardship, facing the real prospect of death. It'd be easy for Paul to throw in the towel. Yet in these verses, he gives insight into the certain hope that keeps him going, persevering in the faith. An encouragement for the church in Corinth around 55 AD and to the church in Crowborough today. Paul's opening words, verse 16, because of his relationship with Jesus, we do not lose heart. Trusting in Jesus, we have the same hope Paul had, certain hope that shapes our lives in the present, the reason to persevere when life as a Christian is difficult and unattractive. Therefore, in present brokenness, do not lose heart. as we move into 2021, off the back of a crazy 2020 with so much brokenness in our lives, perhaps we're still reeling in the middle of it all. Do not lose heart. Rather, take heart. Be encouraged. Two reasons. The heart of our passage. First, verses 16 to 18, God is doing a greater work in us. God is doing a greater work in us. Though outwardly we are wasting away, Paul writes in verse 16, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Life in the present age, our lives now in this time and place and in these bodies, these jars of clay, as Paul describes us in verse 7, outwardly we are wasting away. For some it's more obvious than others. Age and health, fragility and frailty. Some of us are still in that age bracket though where we think we're invincible and we'll take on the world. Steve was 51 last week, still feeling invincible. If verse 7 told us our lives are like clay jars, verse 16 tells us those clay jars are deteriorating, breaking down, which experientially we know is true. And there's only so long our healthy eating and exercise, the surgery to fix our illnesses, can do their job in delaying the decay. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. If verse 7 told us that knowing Jesus, having a relationship with Jesus as we trust in him and trust our lives to him, that's what it means to be a Christian. If verse 7 told us that as Christians within this clay jar of our life is a treasure, a glorious treasure, then verse 16 tells us that treasure is renewing us, renewing our lives, already growing new life within us, conceived in us as we came to trust in the Lord Jesus, now growing inside us, unborn yet, but growing. Inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. God is doing a greater work in us than we can see. In this present age, brokenness abounds, and we travel a path which goes only in one direction, some quicker than others, sometimes taking unexpected twists and turns, but always heading towards death. But do not lose heart. God is doing a greater work in us. Inside our mortal bodies, immortality is growing. Our lives and bodies are being renewed, made ready for eternity, even now. As you sit and listen, do not be anxious or depressed about the brokenness of our lives in this present age. Our bodies and minds, our hearts and wills, the world around us. Paul's already said in verse 14, with certainty, we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. Do not lose heart. God is doing a greater work in us. We don't see it. But we trust God is doing it because God says he is doing it and Jesus is risen. We have two lives. Life in this present age, verse 16, outward and wasting away. Verse 17, where troubles abound. Verse 18, seen but temporary. We also have a life in the age to come, growing inside us, realized beyond death, where already we are, verse 16, being renewed. For verse 17, an eternal glory that far outweighs the troubles of this present age. Verse 18, a life that is unseen but eternal. A new life, when seen through the eyes of faith, that puts the present brokenness, so heavy to us at times, into perspective. Where amazingly, we can see those troubles, verse 17, as light and momentary. In comparison to the heavyweight life in us, an eternal glory to come. God is doing a greater work in us. It seems impossible, but the eyes of faith, of trust in God and all he's done for us in and through the Lord Jesus, give a new perspective of life, an eternal perspective. One where the present trials and tribulations, desperate as they are to us at times, do not ultimately overwhelm. In fact, not just enduring this life, but recognizing in them, verse 17, these troubles are part of what God is doing in our lives to bring us to eternal glory. I'm reading Genesis in my quiet times this week, looking at the life of Joseph. Joseph had real trouble, real trial and persecution, unfair and unjust in many ways, Joseph didn't brush it off or pretend it didn't happen. Yet in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph stands before his brothers who'd thrown him in a cistern, sold him into slavery and told their daddy was dead. And Joseph says to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." I don't know whether God is using you or me and the trials or tribulations we face, full of their pain and hurt, to save many lives. But you can be certain that whatever you are going through, trusting in Jesus, it's part of what God is doing to save your life. You are being renewed. In present brokenness, do not lose heart. God is doing a greater work in us. Fix your eyes on that. Verse 18, not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Do not lose heart. Do not lose sight of what God is doing in our lives and where that's taking us. Which is the second reason to take heart, to be encouraged. Chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, resurrection life is certain. Resurrection life is certain. Paul unpacks a little more what he's fixing his eyes on. Not the life and body we have in the present age, but the life and body we will have in the age to come. And we don't need another illustration here. Paul gives it to us in the images of tent and house. Think about the nature of those two dwelling places. At present, we inhabit an earthly tent, mortal bodies, fragile and easily destroyed. For Corinthian readers facing the real prospect of death through persecution, they would have known this all too well. But if this body is destroyed, do not worry, we have an eternal house. Immortal bodies, permanent and eternal, never to decay or be destroyed. They will come to us in the fullness of time. And in the way we've seen new life is already growing in us, chapter 5, verse 1 is also in the present tense. We have a building from God. The reality is that even whilst we inhabit these bodies now, eternal bodies are being prepared for us by God. So verse 3, death won't leave us permanently naked. We won't miss out on what's to come if we die before Jesus comes. The eternal body is waiting for us, a real body, our bodies renewed. Our eternal existence isn't some sort of spiritual existence. Resurrection life is certain. It's mind-blowing, and it should be. Yet this promise comes from God himself, creator and ruler of the universe, a God who can easily give to his children the wonderful gift of perfect and immortal bodies, and who did so when he raised his son Jesus from the dead. But it's still mind-blowing in the sense that the existence we have now seems like the greater reality to us, because it's what we inhabit now. As one Christian writer notes, to our minds, this present existence is solid and real, whereas our coming existence seems shadowy and insubstantial. Paul teaches us that the reverse is true. The life which is to come is strong, permanent, and real. The present life is lived among the shadows. Christian, as you trust in Jesus, is this your perspective on life? Because it completely changes the way we think, our priorities in the present, the things we invest time and energy into, and the way we respond to the struggles of living as Christians in present brokenness. Keep the eternal perspective. Resurrection life is certain, and it's the certainty of that greater reality which means we don't lose heart here in the present. Paul's a realist, though. Verse 2, Paul knows life's hard and will struggle now. As we live in present brokenness, we groan, we long for something more, something better. Verse 4, we groan and are burdened. And switching the imagery from buildings to clothing, our groaning isn't to be unclothed, to have some disembodied spiritual existence, but we're burdened to put on the resurrection body that awaits us. Resurrection life is certain, a real physical life that's so much greater than all this world has to offer. Do we long for that greater reality? As we wake each day, what do we long for most? Time to rest and relax, the next holiday or weekend, or the next Sunday we're not on the church rota, Or do we long for eternity and God's perfect rest? Do we long most for friendships or a relationship? Or for eternity when we will be living with our Creator in perfect relationship? Do we long most for health and strength in our bodies? Or for eternity when we will be given a perfect physical body free of weakness and decay? Do we have our eyes set on the world, or do our eyes have an eternal perspective? Are we rejoicing in what the wonder of eternity holds for us as Christians? Maybe this is new to you and you're just beginning to see the wonder of what God's prepared for us. It's not wrong to long for good things like rest and relationship and restoration of our bodies, but what things capture our heart most? Let's not spend our time trying to make life in the tent look nice and be comfortable. Take your eyes off the Euro tent with its sink and shower under the canvas. Don't long for that, because at the end of the day, both glamping and camping are the same thing. Either way, they're both tents. Have a bigger vision. Long for the house. Invest in the eternal house in heaven. Pray God would give us a right perspective on the future, certainty in our resurrection life, and a longing to be with him in eternity, eyes fixed on the eternal that we might not lose heart in the present. God made us as eternal beings. Verse 5, he fashioned us, made us to dwell with him for all eternity. And God provided a way for that to be possible in and through the Lord Jesus. All who turn and trust in the Lord Jesus can be reconciled to God, brought back into a right relationship with him, given an eternal house in heaven. As we trust in Jesus, the hope of resurrection life is certain hope in the reality to come. How can we be so confident? Well, look at the end of verse 5. God has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. When I gave Jane her engagement ring, it was a small deposit, guaranteeing the greater reality of marriage to come, my promise to marry her. God has put a deposit in the lives of Christians, all who turn and trust in the Lord Jesus, as a guarantee that our hope for the future isn't in vain. God himself comes to live in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' resurrection life living in us, a sure sign that one day we will live with him fully in eternity. And it's God's presence in us which causes that deep longing, not for the present age, but for eternity, the age to come. We have a taste of living with God now. What wonder it will be to live with God in all his fullness in eternity. Trusting in Jesus' resurrection life is certain, because we already have a deposit for what's to come. And it's certain because of who God is and what he's done. It's not dependent upon us to do anything. God has promised resurrection life, eternal life to all who turn and trust in the Lord Jesus. Jesus came to earth to enable us to have a right relationship with him and gives his Spirit to all who will turn and trust in him. Because of what is past in the work of Jesus and what is present in the work of the Spirit, we can be 100% assured of the future. What great joy. And what an encouragement to cling to as we live in this present brokenness, in broken bodies, in a broken world, and in a world that stands against the Lord Jesus, where we'll suffer for standing up and being counted as his. As we finish, in present brokenness, do not lose heart. God is doing a greater work in us. Resurrection life is certain. And it's certain because of Jesus' death and resurrection. All we have, all we long for and look forward to is verse 1, from God because of Jesus. In present brokenness, do not lose heart. In fact, be excited by and rejoice in all God is doing and all that's to come. But most of all, be excited by and rejoice in the one who made that possible. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the plans you have for us in Jesus. Forgive our lives that are so focused on the present and not the eternal. May we each this day and every day be those who live by faith in the risen Lord Jesus, rejoicing in him And then please fill us with the joy of all you're doing in us and have prepared for us because of Jesus, that we might not lose heart in present brokenness, but persevere to the end of our days in sure and certain hope of our eternity with you. And in Jesus' name we pray now. Amen.
Amen.